Psychologists tell us that who you are a year from today will largely be determined by two things: the things that you allow into your mind and the people that you relate to. So how are you doing today with those things? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "Bad company corrupts good character." And so what Paul's saying in this is he's just saying that who we spend our time with actually does matter. And so let me just ask you a quick question this morning. Who are you spending your time with right now? Is it family? Is it friends? Is it the media? Yikes on that last one. Please tell me it's not the media. But I ask that because in our society today, relationships are actually fragmenting at an alarming rate. And part of the reason for that is just because we have very few people today who actually know how to relate to other people anymore, at least not in a helpful way. And we don't seem to be getting much help in changing that, at least not culturally. As we look around, it's actually a struggle to find any good role models out there at all, right, to learn from. Television certainly doesn't seem to have them anymore. It's hard to find anyone in politics today or even in the sports industry that we could actually point to as a helpful way to live our lives. In fact, what we see more of is really a collection of some pretty horrible role models. But even in spite of all that horrible modeling that's being done in our society right now, the Bible says that love, even in this very hateful and weird world that we live in, is still to be the basis of all our relationships. In fact, it's the absence of that that is hurting so many of those relationships right now. God says that love should be the foundation in all of them. But with so few people showing us how to love today, I think it's created this problem where most people just totally misunderstand what love is and what love is not and what love's supposed to be about. As a consequence, we're missing it, aren't we? We're missing it in our families, we're missing it in our society, and it's created this urgency within me, at least, especially as I watch the things that are going on today with the riots, the elections, and all the sheer hatred that we're seeing on the news. It's created for me this urgency to go back to the beginning and actually discover anew what love really is. Because God says, Jesus says, right, that what we need more of, in fact, what this whole series is about, is we need more love. And that's why God, I believe, dedicated an entire chapter in the Bible to it, saying love is this and love is not that. So this morning we're going to be taking a look at this next building block on what love is. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says this: love is patient. God says that when you're going to relate to people and have healthy, growing, good relationships, the first thing that you are going to need is patience. Now, why in the world would God know that? Well, part of it is that, you know, he's had several thousand years now of experience in dealing with, you know, dealing with people like you and me. And so he's had to have patience. He's had to learn patience. The word in Greek literally means it takes a long time to boil. Talk about somebody having a short fuse. This just means that he's got a long fuse. And what's interesting is that this word is never used in relationship to anything in the Bible except to people. And so what it's saying is this: you need to take a long time to boil when you relate to people. Why? Because love is patient. That means it's loving to be patient. It's unloving to not be patient. So when I'm patient with my kids, that's what love looks like. When I'm patient with my wife, I'm loving. When I'm patient with someone who believes something different about the upcoming election, I'm being loving. When I'm patient, right, that's what God calls loving someone. When I'm impatient, I'm being unloving. And so why of all the things that God could have started with when he started giving us the, you know, all these rules for great relationships, why does he start with patience? Let me give you a couple reasons for that. First reason would be because everybody's just different, aren't they? I mean, God works through different people in different ways. I mean, he's given us all different skills and abilities. He says everybody is an original, right? I love that. And if you're a parent with two or three kids, you know that that's the truth, don't you? They're all so different. In fact, it's truly amazing how different your children are from one another, from the same family, different kids. And yet God created each of us to be absolutely unique and special in his sight. And as a result of that, well, there's absolutely nobody else in this world quite like you. You are one of a kind. For example, here's a test, just to kind of flesh this out a little bit. Is the cup half full or half empty? I mean, we all have different perspectives. Five people are at the scene of a crime and they all see things differently. Why? I don't know, because we're different. We're all focused on different things. Here's another test. A report card comes out with five A's and one B. You got an A in English, an A in math, an A in history, an A in physics, a B in biology, an A in PE. Now, if this had been your report card, how would you have felt? Here's the first option. I'd feel good knowing my parents felt good too. That's a good answer. How about this one? Number two, my parents would want to know why I made a B in biology. Three, I would expect a big reward from my parents if I brought this kind of report card home. Four, I'd feel sad because I hadn't gotten straight A's. Or how about five? I'd call the local news and schedule a press conference because I did amazing. Now why? Why are we all so different in the way we responded to that question? Well, it's because we are different. And because we are different, we need to be patient with one another. I'll give you a second reason too. Because our differences create misunderstandings. I'm going to say that again. Because our differences create misunderstandings. I mean, wow, right? That's about as applicable a truth as you can possibly get right now in our culture. But as a result, often we just can't figure each other out. We just don't understand. We don't know where they're coming from. We just don't get it. It's really hard to understand their perspective. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, it says, no one can really know what anybody else is thinking or what he's really like except that person themselves. Notice the words here, no one. It just means nobody. Nobody can understand my wife or my husband. If you had my boss, you couldn't figure him out either, right? Somebody might say. So let me ask you this question. Have you used any of these phrases in the last 30 days? I don't understand the way he acts. Why does he act that way? He doesn't understand me at all. She's on a different wavelength. He doesn't make any sense. How can you think that way? My parents are from another time zone. Why do I have to tell you 48 times before you do it? Why won't you talk to me? Why do you get so emotional? I mean, can you relate to any of these? My friend's wife said this one time, and I love it. She said, I know you think you understand what you thought I said, but I'm not sure that you're aware that what you heard is not what I meant. I love that. But seriously, we all have a tough time, don't we? And because we're all so different, we all have these misunderstandings, and we all just don't get each other at times. And that's one of the biggest problems in our culture right now, and it's one of the biggest problems in our marriages right now. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, it says, be patient with everyone. But how in the world do we do that? I mean, how can you be patient with everybody? The simple answer is by understanding them. And isn't that what we need in our world right now? A little bit more understanding? A little bit more reason? I think the reason we get so impatient with one another right now is because we so often just flat out misunderstand where they're coming from. And if this feels familiar, and it absolutely does, you know, how come we do this? And the reason is because we assume. Because we don't take the time, and the news helps us, right? Because we're so wrapped up in us that we forget about everybody else. And yet God still comes to us again and again, and he says, love is patient. But the cool thing about God is that he never just tells us what to do without offering us, showing us how to actually do it. I was talking to a gal the other day, and she said, we kept going to the counselor, and they kept assessing the problem, but they never helped us actually move forward, never showed us how to do something different. And so here are four things from God that he gives to us that we can use to work to help us become more patient with one another. First thing he gives us is this. Remember how patient God is with you. I shared this in a different context, I think, before over and over, but I'll just say it again. You'll never have to be more patient with anybody else than God has already been with you. In 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul writes, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst sinner, Christ might display his unlimited patience. In other words, Paul says, God chose this mess that is me. He knew that I was a murderer. He knew I participated in the murder of Stephen. He knew I was a fanatic, but God turned me around just so that he could show us how unlimited his patience really is. So the next time you say to your kids, hey, grow up, Remember, God wants to say that to you. Or when you want to say to your kids, hurry up, why is it taking you so long? God wants to say that to you lots of times too, doesn't he? Why aren't you getting in gear? Why isn't your life maturing? Why isn't your language cleaning up? And on and on. He's just so patient with us, isn't he? In Romans 15:7, Paul writes, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. The motive, the reason I'm going to accept other people is because God has accepted me. And the reason I'm to be patient with other people is because God is patient with me. The reason I'm going to try to get along with other people is because somehow, someway, because of his patience, God gets along with me. So that's the starting point, isn't it? To remember how patient God is with us. And then he goes on and gives us a second thing. And these are progressively harder, right? But he says, learn by listening. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. Again, in Proverbs 14:29, Solomon writes, a patient man has great understanding. And so if you want to learn to be patient, the key is understanding. Because the more wisdom you have, the more understanding you're going to have. And the more you understand that person, the more patient you're going to end up being with that person. But if you don't understand them at all, you're not going to be patient with them at all. If you don't understand them, you're not going to have a very good relationship either, because all relationships are based on understanding each other. If you don't understand you, or if I don't understand you and you don't understand me, what kind of possible relationship can we have? And so this is the foundation point. No understanding, no relationship, right? And don't believe me? Look at Congress, right? So again, understanding is what you build the foundation on. Misunderstanding is what destroys the relationship every single time. And you get understanding from wisdom, from studying the Bible, from looking at what God says about it. That's the most important wisdom you could possibly have. But you also get it by listening to one another. And so let me ask you, how would you rate yourself as a listener? On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself as a listener? 10 being the high. I think most of us, when we're asked that question, think we're pretty good listeners. Actually, I'm an awesome listener. Okay, let me ask it a different way. How good a listener are you when it comes to politics? Is it the same answer? I ask that because I think the reality of our actual listening might suggest more that it's this. That we may only be good hearers, but not so good at actually listening. For example, research has shown that only 7% of the meaning of what you say is communicated in words. 43% of that meaning comes from how you say it. Vocal tone, pitch, volume, delivery, all those kind of things. The remaining 50% of the meaning is contained in the nonverbal language, the facial expressions, the hand gestures. I guess I keep doing these. The body language. And that's why when you're on the phone, it's only 50% effective. Or why when you're texting or emailing or tweeting, right, it's only 7% effective. Why? Because you can't see what the other person is communicating through their body. And here's the takeaway. It just means your eyes are as important to listening as your ears are. So husbands, has your wife ever said something like this to you? Why don't you ever look at me when we're talking? Well, the truth is, she's got a point. Your eyes are as important as your ears in communication because only 7% of communication is your words. You've got to learn to hear, right? That's what we need to do. And then God goes on to make it even harder. And he gives us a third thing to think about. Make allowances for each other, he says. And wow, is that missing in our culture today, isn't it? But the deal is everybody's got bad days. We're all flaky from time to time. We all have bad days. It's just a fact of life. Sometimes you don't want to get around me with a 10-foot pole. My guess is the same is true of you. But the Bible says to make allowances for each other, right? It says this, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. In Proverbs 12, verse 16, in the Good News Version, it says, smart people will ignore an insult. In other words, we all have bad days, and we're all a little bit crazy. Make allowances, it says. And finally, the last one, probably the hardest one, is this. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. Now, this is not a new piece of suggestion, right? This is the golden rule. It's something we grew up learning. But it just says this. Always treat others as you'd like them to treat you. And I'm telling you, this single verse could save most marriages today. But the reality is that this is easy to understand, but really difficult to practice. But if we could, it would prevent most divorces in America today. Might even help us with politics, who knows. But here's the point. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. In Philippians 2, verses 4 and 5, it says this. None of you should think only of his own affairs. Consider others' interests also. Let your attitude toward life be that of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's just saying, pay attention to the needs of other people in your life. Discover what they're interested in. And so let me ask you, sort of as a way of a test, can you name the top 4 or 5 interests of every member of your family right now? I don't know. I think sometimes we get so preoccupied with ourselves and so caught up in our own little worlds that we sort of stop seeing other people, don't we? We stop seeing them and what's going on with them. But the Bible says, look out for other people's interests too. Because ultimately, that's exactly what God does for us, isn't it? I mean, he saw your hopeless condition. He saw your sin. He sees your tears. Instead of letting you deal with all of those consequences in hell, he instead, because of his unfathomable patience and love for us, he instead sent us Jesus. That while we were sinners, while we were blowing it, he sent us his son to die for us on the cross so that we might once again know and experience what true forgiveness and love is all about. And that's what God wants to give our world today. It's what he wants to give you in your life right now. He wants to give you more peace. He wants to give you reconciliation. He wants to give you hope again. He wants to remind you that he loves you and that you are forgiven. He wants to give you all the good stuff. But it starts with seeking him. And when it comes to love, it starts with learning to be patient with those around us. Guys, in the midst of this craziness, go with that encouragement and try to apply patience this week in your lives. And all God's people said, amen.